realm, and he's provided a great day, and we need to rejoice and be glad in it. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. Well, a text this morning I wish to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 25. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. No, I haven't forgotten that the first Sunday is next week, and that's when we will observe the Lord's Supper. But I wanted us to look at Memorial Day, the secular Memorial Day, and the Memorial Day that we set aside for Jesus side by side and determine if there are any differences in the way we should observe those two memorial services. The federal holiday known as Memorial Day is tomorrow, May the 30th. And, of course, next Sunday is the first Sunday in June, and it's Communion Sunday, or we observe what is called the Lord's Supper or Communion. And it is, in fact, the Lord's Memorial Day. It is the day that we remember him. So as I said, this morning we shall review the reasons we celebrate a secular Memorial Day as Americans, and we shall also review the reasons that we celebrate the Lord's Memorial Day as Christians. Now, Memorial Day is a remembrance for those who died in our nation's service. And it began in 1868 when John Logan, General of the Grand Army of the Republic, declared May the 30th as a day of remembrance of those who had died in the Civil War. And flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers in Arlington Cemetery. Memorial Day, as Jimmy said this morning, was originally called Decoration Day. Most of you here can remember, as I do, when I was growing up, that it was called Poppy Day, because artificial red poppies, which were made by veterans, were sold to benefit servicemen in need on Memorial Day. Well, in December 2000, Congress passed a resolution in which it requested that all Americans informally and voluntarily observe a moment of remembrance and respect at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day. Congress, some years before this, had changed the day that we celebrate as Memorial Day from May the 30th, a specific day, to the last Monday in May, regardless of what day upon which that falls. So therefore, tomorrow being the last Monday in May, we shall observe as Memorial Day holiday. As Jimmy mentioned also this morning, and as we have discussed from this pulpit in Memorial Days past, many people look at this as just a three-day weekend, a time when the pool opens up, as Mike said, a time when you grill hot dogs and hamburgers on the grill and go to the lake and go boating, or just some activity outside maybe with the family. But every American should recognize Memorial Day in honor of those whose blood was shed to make America what she is today, a strong, free nation worth defending. And because men and women died for this country, I have the right to stand up here and preach God's word. We have the right to live peacefully in our homes. We have the right to pursue peace and happiness and prosperity. And Memorial Day is also a time when we remember a very sobering fact that the price of freedom is blood. We do not earn freedom by passing a test. We do not earn freedom merely because we ask for it. Unfortunately, blood has been and unfortunately again will have to be shed in order for us to have freedom. So once a year we observe Memorial Day. For us here at Ephesus, on the first Sunday of each month, we observe the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Memorial Day. Jesus fought the armies of hell so that we too could be free. So we observe first Sunday as Memorial Day to Jesus. Now, what are the reasons that we observe these memorial days? Well, first of all, on Memorial Day, we mourn the loss of human life. When we remember the ones who have died in service to our country, some of us remember the what ifs. What if I had told him I loved him the day he shipped out? What if I had gone to see her in the veterans hospital last week before she died? What if I had not been so harsh the last time we spoke on the phone before he went out on his last mission? And we replay these regrets over and over in our minds, although ultimately we know that those what-ifs could not change a thing. So on our secular Memorial Day, we mourn the loss of the lives of those who died defending the freedoms which we so casually take for granted. And on the Lord's Memorial Day, we can't help but think of a big if only. If only we were not sinners, Jesus would not have had to die. The truth is, we are to blame. When we come to the Lord's memorial, we stand before the mirror and face the truth as set forth in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are the ones to blame. We caused all of Jesus' suffering. He was humiliated, beaten, spit upon, and treated as a sinner because we, in fact, were sinners. Yet we also know that if only one person had been lost, Jesus would have gone to that cross to save that one soul. So great was the love that he had for us. So on the Lord's Memorial Day, we mourn the loss of the life of Jesus. At communion, the first thing we do is with the bread is to break it. Whether we break it with our hands or whether we break it when we chew it, we break the bread. And this symbolizes the fact that our sin broke the body of Jesus Christ. Secondly, on Memorial Day, we remember the lives. Part of the emotional healing in the process of grief is to remember the life of the loved one who has passed. We remember their appearance, naturally. We remember their attributes, their characteristics. We remember the funny stories that revolved around them. We remember how we interacted with them, either as a parent or sibling or as a relative or as a friend or as a fellow church member. So we visit military memorial memorials at the cemeteries. We go to Memorial Day ceremonies, and we share the memories with those who also knew the deceased. We put on the headstones of graves quite often testimony as to how we remember someone. And if you just walk through a cemetery sometime, whether you're familiar with the people or not, you will see on those headstones, "Gone but not forgotten. We love you. We miss you." Sayings that express how we feel. Well, our communion tables say, or inscribe with the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." And each month we set aside that first Sunday to remember Jesus. Well, what should we, or what do we remember about Jesus? We remember his life and his teachings. And more than that, we remember his sacrificial death. At the Lord's table next Sunday, we'll do more than just stand beside it and grieve and treat it as a monument to Jesus' death. We will remember his victory over death. We remember his resurrection, and we have a fellowship with a living Savior as our hearts reach out in faith to him. Third, on Memorial Day, we give thanks for the sacrifice. All the heroic acts on the battlefields throughout history have made our country what it is today. We enjoy freedom and wealth unequaled, unparalleled on this planet. Even those of us who are the least wealthy have more than most people in other countries. Yet our freedom and our luxuries come at a tremendous price. We enjoy freedom in America today, not because we're so special, not because we behaved ourselves so well, but because men and women died in service, defending us and defending our rights. We know that the price of freedom is bloodshed. We give thanks to those who made this ultimate sacrifice. And in a similar way, Jesus gave his life to set us free. To set us free from the slavery of sin and death. To give us hope eternal that we could live forever. Live in a place where there was no more pain and no more sickness and no more sorrow and no more grieving. For this we must eternally be thankful to him. When we drink the juice next Sunday, as we observe the Lord's Supper, we give thanks for our forgiveness. We thank him for forgiving us of our sins. The juice symbolizes the blood of Jesus, which he shed to cleanse us of our sins. So therefore, tomorrow, on Memorial Day, we need to mourn the lives of those who died. We need to remember the lives of those who died, and we need to give thanks for the sacrifice. And likewise, next Sunday when we come to the Lord's table, we need to mourn the loss of the body of Jesus. We need to remember the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, and we need to give heartfelt thanks for Jesus' sacrifice. It is by the blood of Jesus that we are redeemed. It is by the blood of those men and women in their armed services who serve this nation that we are able to be free. It is Jesus who grants us mercy and peace through his broken body and through the blood which he shed. And as we prepare to take of that communion, Lord's Supper next Sunday, I want each of us to pray every day this week a prayer of invitation and invite Jesus into our lives and into God's house, his house, to meet with us at his table of remembrance on his memorial day next Sunday. Now you who have not accepted him as Lord and Savior, you don't have to wait till next Sunday when we have the Lord's Memorial Day. We invite you to accept him today. We invite you to thank him for this nation, to thank him for this building that we can come to worship, to thank him for all he's done for you, and to say, Lord, I confess my sins. Yes, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. And he will do that. And if you have aspirations to become a member of this body of believers, you can tell me that as you come forward today, and we'll talk about that here at the altar table. So let us stand as we sing a hymn of invitation, hymn number 275, I Surrender All.